50%, men. 50%, that's the population, percentage of the population who has turned to drugs and the excessive use of alcohol as a remedy for their stress, for their worry and their anxiety. Anybody ever been stressed? Anybody ever suffer from anxiety? Anybody ever rolled up on the floor and cried like a baby? 50% of the people in our country are suffering from stress and anxiety to the point where they need to have some kind of something to help them with it, and they've turned to drugs and they've turned to alcohol. And as I said, the excessive use of alcohol. And that is, when you think about it, every other person that you see is struggling with anxiety. Last week I watched a TED Talk. You ever watch some TED Talks? I think some interesting things on there. This guy was Dr. James Doty. He's a neurosurgeon, and he's turned to neuroscience. And here's the question that he's trying to find an answer to. What is it that keeps people from really living? He's not talking about the ordinary 9-to-5 life, you know, where you're just grinding it out, just barely making it. And he's not talking about a mundane life. He's talking about an extraordinary life. A life of meaning, a life of purpose. He's talking about a life of contentment, a life of happiness. He's talking about an excellent life. So what is it, he says, that keeps people from living that kind of life? And he went on to remind his audience that we live in one of the most affluent nations in the world. We consume 25% of the world's resources. Theoretically, we could have almost anything we want in this country. And yet, he said, we have an epidemic in our country, an epidemic of stress and isolation and loneliness and anxiety leading to depression. I think most of you will agree with me when I say that we do have a problem with our health care system, and this is one of the things that the doctor was pointing out. Our healthcare system is oriented toward treating the symptom and not treating the problem. And so the doctor said that we are not doing anything to help our people, that the healthcare system really is a failure. Because when somebody in our country suffer from anxiety, they go to the doctor, and the doctor does what? Gives them drugs, medicates them, turns to chemistry. And so 20% of the people are on regular prescription drugs for their anxiety. And then when you add the alcohol, the excessive use of alcohol, that's when you get up to that 50% number. So one out of every person, every two people you see, suffering from it. And for looking for something that they can put in their body to help them, in their own words, feel normal, to function normally. So what was his conclusion? What we're doing is not working, because we're looking to chemistry instead of to a proper solution. Worry, anxiety, depression, they're very real things, though, aren't they, guys? I don't mean to minimize them. They're very real things. People struggle with them every single day. And we need to recognize that it is a reality in the country, in the world that we live in. But it's nothing new, is it, men? It's nothing new. It's been around for ages. We're going to look this morning at what the Apostle Paul said about it 1958 years ago, because this book was written in 62 A.D. So turn in your Bible to the book of Philippians. We've been looking at the leadership standards of Paul, and this is one of the things he says to us. This is one of the things he wants us to know as leaders. Leaders, this is the way you handle a problem that you might have and other people that you're leading will have, because they suffer from some of the things that you might suffer from. They suffer from anxiety, and here is how you can help. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 6 and 7, they, I hope, are going to be very familiar to you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What a tremendous promise that is. You know, our society, though, has devised all kinds of treatments and cures for anxiety. Drugs, medication. In Dr. Doty's case, which is the rest of his talk that I didn't share with you, here was his cure. Neurohacking your brain for happiness. Neurohacking your brain. And I guess we can hack anything these days, even hack your brain to come up with a solution. But I'm sure that all of those things are helpful to some degree. They probably are, aren't they? But there is a cure. There is something that goes beyond that. And it's not a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing. I was interested to read an article from the Huffington Post. Everybody read articles from the Huffington Post? Sometimes they're kind of, you know, left-leaning. They're interesting, right? But there's a religion section, believe it or not, in the Huffington Post. And this is one of the headlines that I read. You'll find it interesting. I hope you do. I did. Here was the headline. What Philippians 4, 6, and 7 Bible passage can teach us about managing anxiety? The Huffington Post is going to a Bible passage to help people handle anxiety. The article went on to say, people turn to the Bible for support with many challenges, and chief among them is, what do you think it was? Anxiety. That's right. According to data researched by Amazon, on the most highlighted passage in Kindle ebooks from the Bible is one reducing anxiety and finding trust in God. What is the most highlighted verse on Kindles according to Amazon? The verse we're looking at this morning, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. So we are a nation of worriers, right? We're a nation of people suffering from anxiety. It's real. Sometimes maybe not as real as we think it is. You may have heard what Michael DeMontaigne said 500 years ago. My life has been filled with misfortune, most of which never happened. We all know 85% of the things we worry about never happen, right? But we still worry about these things. But what about the things that are real? What about the things that do cause people worry and anxious and angst and anxiety? What about those things, and how do we deal with those things? And that's what the Apostle Paul is going to help us with. He says it's not through human innovation. It's not through human design. It is a spiritual thing. And so verse 6, here it is. Do not. I like that, right? I like clarity, right? I like when somebody is pretty clear and they really help me with something. And when somebody says, do not, kind of grabs my attention. Does it grab yours? Do not. It's like a red flag goes up, right? There's a danger kind of thing attached to that. Do not be anxious. Do not worry for anything. And he's saying to us, there is not a situation that you as a Christian leader should find yourself in that should cause such anxiety that it stops you from being the leader that God has created you to be. And this anything implies every situation. It's all encompassing. So do not, in other words, never be overly anxious about anything. So we have Paul sitting in a dungeon in Rome. Right? He's writing these words. So how was it that Paul was able to be unanxious to the point of writing this letter to us to help us to be unanxious about any situation that's in our life? I think it's tremendously encouraging that he was able to do it and was encouraging us to do it from a jail cell. It really grabs my attention when he says, don't be anxious. Here's a guy, he was there and he wasn't anxious. So when he says that to me, it kind of gives us some credibility, doesn't it? If he was able to not be anxious in his situation, then it's probably possible for me not to be anxious about situations that I might find myself in as well. So he said, don't do it. And so we're going to try not to do it. Don't worry about anything, he said. But instead, all right, I like the Apostle Paul. You know, a couple weeks ago I spoke about him kind of being a coach, and he's reminding us the race that we're running in. And he said, run that race, you know. So he was coaching us and give us a game plan. He's doing the same thing here. He says, don't be anxious, but instead, here's your game plan. Here's your race plan. Here's some things that I want you to do instead, and they are going to be the remedy to help you from being overly anxious. Concerned? Good. We should be concerned about things, but not overly anxious about them. So verse 6, don't be anxious about anything, but instead do this. In everything, by prayer and supplication, two things, prayer and supplication. Maybe your Bible says prayer and petition or prayer in some other word. But the idea is go to prayer. How many times when we get into a tough situation, would we rather worry about it than pray about it? All right. Anybody like that? I mean, I confess I'm like that sometimes. I'd rather worry about it, try to figure it out myself than pray about it. And Paul says, don't do that. Don't do that. Pray about it. Don't only pray about it. Put your petitions before him. That means over and over and over and over. The root word actually can mean beg. Beg God for the answer to the situation that you're in. So put your prayers there, petition Him, and pray and ask God for what you need. Yesterday morning, I was with a young guy, and he's scared. His business is failing. He left corporate America. He sold his house, took some of the equity out of his house to start this business, and it's not working. And he's got tremendous pressure on him, pressure on himself, pressure from his wife, pressure from the people he's hired in this business he has, and it looks like it's going to fail. And so we were talking to him. He said, "I don't know what to do. And I'm feeling lost. I'm scared." And I said, "Well, you know, have you been praying about this? You've been asking God for a solution." You know, he's a young Christian, and you know what he said? "I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray." I said, "Well, man, it's this. Just tell God how you're feeling. Tell Him what's going on. Talk to Him. Tell Him what's going on. Tell Him you're frightened. Tell Him you're scared. Tell Him you feel lost." He said, "Well, I guess I can do that." And said, "Let's do it." And I said, "Just talk." And he started to talk. And pretty soon, he's sharing his heart with God. And I said to him, "Wasn't it Jesus who said, 'Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest?' Wasn't it Peter who echoed the words of Christ when Peter said, 'Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you?'" I said, that's the God who is hearing your prayers. That's His Son. He wants to hear from you. He wants to carry your burdens. He wants to relieve you of anxiety that you're suffering from. And so the young guy prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and it was an amazing experience with him. So we pray. We pray as an expression of our dependence upon the promise that's made to us. You pray, you offer up your petitions, and something is going to happen when you deal with Thanksgiving. I think it's Thanksgiving is interesting. Thanksgiving in this case is that forward look, this expectation of what God is going to do, because you know He's going to answer your prayer. You don't know how, but you know He will answer that prayer. Maybe not what you thought you wanted, but always what is right, always what He knows that you need. And when you do that, you pray in a thankful heart, expecting an answer. Verse 7, what's the outcome? What is the outcome, guys? An answer. An answer. Freedom. 50% of the people in our country are looking for freedom from anxiety. They don't know where to look. This young guy, "I don't know how to pray." Most people are that way. They don't know how to pray. But when they do, what's the result? A promise. It's a promise. It's freedom from anxiety. It's peace. These people are looking for peace. I think all of us at some times in our life, we're looking for peace because we don't have it. Because anxiety has come in and it's ruling us. I'm going to tell you, anxiety does not have to rule you. Because this promise says that we will get peace that passes anything that we could ever understand. Surpasses all understanding, and it does two other things. It guards us. It guards our heart, and it guards our mind. If anybody's going to be guarding me, I would like it to be the Lord Jesus Christ. How about you? Not a man, not a system, but Jesus Christ. And the promise is there. I will guard your heart. I will guard your mind, and I will give you freedom. From what? From worry. From stress, from anxiety, from depression that rules so many people. Disorders that can keep men from being the leaders that God has called them to be. That's not what God wants for you. It's not what I want for you. I want you to be free from that so that you can operate at the highest levels that you possibly can. I used to tell my children when they were young, I had a saying, you know, and they would always expect it. They know Dad was going to say this at some point in time. Usually it was about their chores or about their education. Here's what I would say to them. Kids, anxiety is the price you pay for the unprepared mind and mouth. Anxiety is the price you pay for the unprepared mind and mouth. And I think it's applicable in this situation, isn't it, Ben? It's good advice. It's the advice that Paul is giving us. What is he saying? Men, you men who want to be leaders, prepare your mind, prepare your mouth, and if you do so, there will be a path away from anxiety, and there will be a path toward joy, toward freedom, toward the abundant life. If you prepare your mind and you prepare your mouth, you're preparing it to do what? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your petitions be made known. Let your requests be made known to God. And, here's the promise, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the tremendous promise. We thank you that you love us, you love every man in this room enough to give him a way out of anxiety and into joy and into peace. So, Father, we thank you that you guard our hearts, that you guide our minds. And in this new year, Father in heaven, I pray that we'll all rest in that and we will work for you in whatever situation you have put us in for your glory. And we pray this in your Son's name, Jesus our Christ. Amen. Amen. Have a nice morning, gentlemen. Happy New Year to you.